Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to share a word from 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 16. And I'm going to read out of the NIV translation. And what I want to speak about tonight is, who said it's over? Who said it's over? This is a passage that I go to often, especially in times when things might go tough, or things kind of get in your way, or maybe there's some confusion. This is a passage that, for me personally, speaks to me every single time. So let's read together out of 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of God came to him, to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came up to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. So this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the land." And the last two verses: she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Amen. I'd just like to pray really quick. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this passage and this word and this reminder, God, that you are always working and always with us, God. Even in the toughest times or the best days, God, you have always promised to be with your children. So we thank you for that. I pray that you anoint the words, soften the hearts, God, and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elijah was a mighty prophet during a turbulent time in Israel's history. The nation had turned away from the Lord to worship Baal. King Ahab had formed an alliance with Sidon, the city, by marrying their princess Jezebel. You guys love that name, Jezebel? No? You guys know the history. Elijah was sent to show Israel the evil of their ways and to encourage them to return back to the Lord. So the first thing I want to point out from this passage, it's a long passage, but I'll keep it short tonight. First is that God sees things. So see what God sees. So that's our cry for us tonight. See what God sees. Fear doesn't always feel like terror. You know, sometimes fear feels like terror. Maybe you're frightened. But a lot of times fear feels like hopelessness. Verse 13. You know, she says, "I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself that we may eat it and die." There's obviously a dried up season. Elijah had prophesied that that would happen. And now fear had overtaken the land. But it was a fear of hopelessness. It wasn't a fear of just terror. She even told herself, "I'm going to die with my son." Fear will tell you you're dying, it's your last meal, and it's over. Fear feels like dread, feels like depression, but you can write this down too. Fear is a false evidence appearing to be real. Fear is false evidence appearing to be real. Jesus said that there would be two contender spirits in the last days. So I want to ask that we turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 21 through 27. You can put that up, please. There are two contending spirits in the last days. Luke 21. You can go ahead and leave it up. Luke 21, 20, sorry, 25, 26, 27, yes? All right. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, oppressiveness of what is coming of the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. If you see in these texts, it says that there will be fear and trembling. And as we know from Acts, as we get into Acts, that's the beginning of the last days. And so even for brothers who don't see the value of the need of the filling of the Holy Spirit, here it is right here, because we're in the last days. And even though when we say yes to the Lord, that's the greatest gift of all, we need a filling of the Holy Spirit, because these last days come with fear and terror, and this is when we need the Lord the most. So our call is to see what God sees. We live in that. We wake up every morning, we have our cell phones, we see the worst news and updates, and if we share these things often, I don't know if you've noticed, but if you get on Instagram or Facebook, once you start sharing a video or a picture, or you start looking at some article, or sometimes even you're talking at home, maybe you have Google Assistant in your house, all of a sudden you go through Instagram and you realize that the advertising is exactly what you said. We're being bombarded with a lot of information that comes from good things or bad things, but most of the time it comes from things that actually scare us. I mean, I've gone through Instagram reels or Facebook stories, and all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about guns, but all of a sudden I see people shooting on the streets or looting. And then if you're not careful, all of a sudden you see more and more of the same thing. And so you get bombarded with it. And the truth is, if the news could share good news and make money, they would. But they can't. So bad news is what wins. And so let's read from Acts 2:17. Acts 2:17 says, this is a response for the spirits. There's a spirit of fear in the world, and then there's the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughter will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even further, 19, it says, I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. 20, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful that it completes the other passage that we just read? And so we know this truth, that we are not led by a spirit of fear, but we're led by the Spirit of the Lord, amen? The Holy Spirit. So here in this passage, we see what God sees. So Elijah goes and talks to this woman. And I love that he goes and talks to her, because it says in certain translations that he went and he was directed to go to her, or she was commanded to be there. But the better translation is that she was appointed to be there, because she had no idea that Elijah was coming, but the Lord knew. God sees before what we see. And so if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says that in the last days he will pour out his spirit, and we know that we're living in the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will see dreams, and old men will dream. Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. So we know that prophecy is future talk. And so here we see that Elijah is led by God to meet with this woman. Because we're not led by appetite. We're not led to fight each other or just to fly away, as they say, fight or flight. We're led by the Spirit of the Lord, by dreams and visions. We're led by a scripture, a word, a picture, an idea. And when that word takes anchor from the Lord in our soul, it gives us hope. It gave this woman hope. And Elijah just trusted the Spirit of the Lord. Some will say, you're delusional. But I will say, no, I'm full of hope. Some will say, you're in denial. And I will say, no, I'm a person of hope. This will not be my last meal, nor my last day, nor your last meal, nor our last day, nor our last year. This isn't the end. It might feel like the end of a chapter or a paragraph, but it's not the end of the book until the Lord says it is. And the Lord is on our side, amen? She was judging tomorrow by yesterday. She said, I had been living in a famine. I'm going to die in a famine. What was will always be. And sometimes we find that in ourselves, in our routine maybe. But we have a God who can reverse the curse, flip what the devil has done on its head, turn the struggle around, and we have a God who can restore and resurrect any situation. The second thing I want to point out is we need to see the possibility. Like I mentioned earlier, Elijah was told to meet her, and she didn't know it, but she was appointed for that very thing. In verse 9, it clearly says that. So in the midst of the drought, in her last apparent moments, God appointed, prepared, and he even intervened. And the interesting thing about this story is he asks her for bread. God told him that she would prepare a meal, but it didn't say exactly what he'd prepare. And interestingly enough, he asked for some water, and then he leads into bread. And what was her response? She wasn't mean to him. She actually tried to get him some water, and then he, in the middle of a drought, in the middle of a famine, says, also give me some bread. You know, some of us might think that's a little too forward. He wasn't too polite. And then she says, I don't have any. I only have flour and oil. See, God asked for something she did not have yet. He asked for bread. Knowing full well she only had flour and oil. She didn't have a meal yet, but she had the ingredients. See, God knows before even we know what's fully formed, because he sees beyond it. So we need to see the possibility of how God sees things. God isn't looking for perfect. He's looking for your flour and your oil. The flour represents so much, but it can represent the word of God. And the oil is the anointing. He's looking for you to be rooted and grounded in his word and full of the Holy Spirit. So with the flour and oil and with hard work, with sweat and tears and her obedience, she was able to make the meal for him. And if we look back in scripture, there's another moment where Jesus has a moment like this. If you guys remember Jesus at the wedding, when they ran out of wine, when the wine was out, everyone thought it was over. They were dramatic. They thought the wedding was done. The good times were over. But Jesus, when Mary approached him, he didn't say, okay, guys, let's get together. Let's huddle up. Who has grapes? Who has money? Who has connections with the wine cellars? He says, bring me some water. And it broke all of their logical thinking. Bring me some water. They were confused, but in the time of desperation, trust this, do what Jesus says. Do what the word of God says. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because when he does the impossible things, that's when we realize it's not up to us, but it's up to God. And he will always come through for us. Because he knows what we need more than we do. Sometimes we wait around, but God doesn't see things that way. Can you see the flour and the oil before you see the bread? Can you see the wine and the water? So my encouragement tonight is that this isn't the end. I don't know what everyone is going through, but I felt like I wanted to bring an encouraging word tonight. Even in your life, as you're seeing situations come forward, if you're seeing moving coming forward, if you're seeing work situations coming forward, if you're seeing your kids rebelling or maybe arguments in your home or different situations that might rattle you, God has provision for you and me. Amen? So this isn't the end. This isn't the end of a book. It might be the end of a paragraph or the chapter. But we need to see things the way God sees things, and we need to see things through his lens, the lens of possibility. And if you've been in that, I pray that you come out of that right now in Jesus' name. I pray that he fills you with hope tonight. Because here's the truth. In verse 14, the flour and the oil never ran out. She thought that they would die. She declared the word over her life, over her son's life, but God came with his prophetic word. And his word brought life and brought restoration. Amen. God bless you.